I'd like to welcome on our show here today, Ben Zander, who is the conductor of the Boston Philharmonic Orchestra. They are in their 35th season. Ben is a conductor, teacher, and speaker, goes around many places talking about the power of classical music. Ben, thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, what a pleasure. I'm delighted. It's my first connection with Richmond, and I'm coming down there in a few days to have a musical and exciting event in Richmond.
Yes, we are looking forward to that. It's a concert that is titled Classical Fever, put on by the Symphony Musicians of Richmond. And folks that are listening to us today, you can head out and see Ben at this special concert at St. Michael Catholic Church. It's on Springfield Road in Glen Allen, Monday evening at 7 o'clock. And if you're not familiar with Ben's work, you probably should head to the internet and check out his TED Talk on TED.com. TED is a nonprofit dedicated to spreading ideas. And Ben's talk, The Transformative Power of Classical Music, is fabulous. I know you talk a little bit about the perception of classical music being for the older folks, and when they die off, what's going to happen to classical music? Well, you have a good take on that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I believe that everybody loves classical music. It's just that many people haven't found out about it yet. And so the purpose of this concert, it's called Classical Fever because I think of classical music as being like an illness. Once you've caught it, it overtakes you completely, and in a very positive way. And so Classical Fever is an opportunity for people who are not familiar with classical music, who haven't been to classical concerts and are, or perhaps have been to a concert and didn't like it. And I'm inviting them to come and be transformed and fall in love with classical music. And the way we're going to do that is very interesting because I have not met the orchestra and the orchestra hasn't met me. So we'll meet for the first time in the concert. And that in itself is most interesting because people often wonder, well, what does a conductor do? And what is the relationship between a conductor and an orchestra? And that will be very clear by the end of the hour and a half that we're going to spend together. And moreover, the audience, which is going to be participating in many ways, including singing the Beethoven Ninth in German as part of the concert, they're going to be totally immersed in classical music and how it affects us, how it makes us moved and engaged and brings up memories and experiences and finds places in our heart that are not readily available. Classical music has an extraordinary power to presence human emotion and bring people together in a way that almost nothing else can. And so once people have had that experience, they become hungry for it. It's like a drug. You want more of it and more of it. And so my belief is that as time goes on, people will get more and more drawn to classical music with all these fantastic things like the internet and all the means that we have now with our iPhones and iPods and iPads, and that music is so readily available now to everybody. And of course, people are listening to music all the time, except they're mostly not listening to classical music because they don't know about that channel. And so I'm going to be absolutely determined that by the end of this evening that we can spend together, every single person in that room, whether they're grown-ups or children, I've said up 11 and up, because at the age of 11, people start becoming aware of and engaged with human emotion and struggles and love and all this, and despair and loss and all the things that are the substance of music. Joy and triumph and all those things become ready and available at that age. But anybody who's 12 or 13 or 14 should find themselves really at home in this environment. The orchestra is fantastic. They called me, one of the members of the orchestra called me because he knew that I had this passion for bringing music to people who are outside the normal family of music lovers, and asked me what they should do. And we got interested in a conversation and talked for a while. And then I suddenly said, well, do you want me to come down? I'll come down to Richmond and let's put a concert together. So the first clarinetist of the orchestra decided to do that, and everybody's volunteering, the whole orchestra is volunteering, and I am too, and we're coming down to just have a musical party, and I'm very excited about it because I know it'll be exciting for the players too. They will be playing in a very unfamiliar situation of no rehearsal. We go right into the music from the beginning, and that's exciting for them.
Absolutely.
And they know that everybody in the audience is hungry to learn and to be inspired and to be moved and to be transformed. That's what we can do. Musicians have tremendous power, and I want to remind the musicians that they have that power and demonstrate it to them so that they feel renewed in their love of music, because every one of them went into music because they played in a youth orchestra and had a fantastic experience when they were young and were totally head over heels in love with music. And then, of course, as time goes on and they play in the professional world, sometimes that passion gets dimmed and they even might get a little bit cynical. And I always say a cynical person is a passionate person who doesn't want to be disappointed again. So we're going to make sure that there's no disappointment, no down feelings in this experience, only the energy, the joy, the passion, the excitement, and this extraordinary language of music, which is available to everybody. There isn't a single human being who can't respond to the joy of the final chorus of the Beethoven Ninth, or the drama and the tension and the terror of Romeo and Juliet of Tchaikovsky. That's music that is written for every human being and touches everybody's soul, even the young ones. That's what I found that's so extraordinary. I have a little five-year-old who comes to my class. I have a class now, which I do in Boston, which is streamed over the internet. And the group that comes, you know, there are a lot of gray-haired people there, but there are a lot of young people. And this five-year-old comes to every class and sits there absolutely riveted by the music. Well, if a five-year-old can be riveted by music for 2 hours without interruption, then anybody can.
Exactly.
And so I'm excited about that, and I'm not despondent at all about the state of classical music. I'm worried that many orchestras are in trouble, and there's a struggle between the management and the orchestra and the boards and all of that stuff. But that's an issue of leadership and of possibility thinking. But the music itself is eternal and communicates such a range of experience and emotion. It's irresistible.
And I know you and I share that desire to develop this passion from a young age. I do direct a youth wind ensemble here in Central Virginia.
And I conduct a youth orchestra.
You do.
That is the most amazing experience.
Exactly. There's just so much to get out of them.
Which day of the week do you do yours?
Well, we do ours in segments. We do a holiday concert, and we bring them together in a professional-like atmosphere where they come together for two or three rehearsals, and then they put on a concert.
Right.
So it's a totally different experience for them than what they have in school.
Right.
But,
and my youth orchestra meets for 4 hours on Saturday afternoon, and the youngest is 12, goes up to 21. And we just played in Carnegie Hall with sensational reaction. You know, these kids play and they sound like a world-class orchestra. They pour their heart and souls into it. The young ones, of course, have such energy and joy. And our job as conductors and teachers is to ensure that they keep that love and passion all the way through their lives and never lose it. And that's the trick, because if people get into a dull state in relationship to music, and they forget the immediacy.
Well, if they get it early on, of course, they'll carry that with them through
their
lives, not only just music, but into other parts of their lives. I truly believe that.
That's the thing. Exactly my point, that what we do in music, it carries over into our life, into our relationships, into our families, into our work and jobs, and the relationship with the community. All of that is created together. And music has this immense power of bringing people together, not only together, just physically together, but actually emotionally together. There's very little in life that can do that. So I never tire of the excitement of sharing that experience with people, both with orchestras and with students, and particularly with audiences.
So this Monday night is not really going to be a true concert. It's going to be more a musical experience.
It's a musical experience, exactly. I'm going to share with them how music works, why it is that the music is so powerful, and take some pieces and share the experience of the story of Romeo and Juliet, which everybody knows, turned into the most powerful, beautiful, and moving music. And there's one moment which I'm very excited about where I'm going to teach the audience to listen to seven voices simultaneously. They can hear seven voices all at the same time. And people are so amazed when they discover that, because most people think that music is something far away from them, and some of them even think they're tone deaf, which of course is nonsense. Right. Nobody's tone deaf. But people get taught at a young age that they don't have any connection or relationship or even talent for it, and I can show them, if I can show them they can hear seven voices simultaneously, that might change not only their relationship to classical music, but more importantly, change their relationship to life itself. Because if they're saying to themselves, my goodness, I had no idea I had this capacity, what else in life am I missing out on that I have closed down on because I thought I couldn't do it? I didn't have the talent, didn't have the experience, didn't have the expertise. And it opens up our whole feeling of being alive. And that's pretty important stuff. That's worth coming down to Richmond to engage with.
Right, exactly. And I always talk about music, of course, being the universal language. So folks, don't be shy. Come out to this event. Ben is going to bring this right out of you. And it's really in you to begin with.
Right. That's the point about this language, this mysterious language. It's not a learned thing. It's actually in the DNA of human beings to feel music and dance. Singing and dancing is a natural impulse for human beings, and the classical idiom has just taken them, and of course everybody has some relationship to music, everybody's listening to rap or pop, but this music, my contention is that this music is much more powerful and much more affecting. There's no rap music or pop music that can do for human beings what the great classical composers can do, and that's why they live eternally on, century after century, in this amazing way. So it's our privilege to be in touch with that, and we hold the sacred flame of classical music and bring it to people, and we never tire of bringing it to more and more and more people. So I'm not despondent at all. I think this is a part of a wonderful process that we're handing on to the next generation.
Ben, thank you so much for joining us today and giving us a sneak peek. We look forward to seeing you on Monday.
I can't wait, and I'm thrilled to come to Richmond, which I'm told is extremely beautiful, and particularly to engage with the orchestra, which I've heard is wonderful. There's a terrific spirit in that orchestra, and I know the conductor from another situation where we were together, and the players are young and enthusiastic and very good, so it should be a thrilling evening.
I think you will enjoy our city very much. The Symphony Musicians of Richmond, joined by Ben Zander, Classical Fever. It's Monday night at 7 o'clock, St. Michael Catholic Church, Springfield Road in Glen Allen.